blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, good evening. Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be sitting in for attorney, pastor, broadcaster Abe Hamilton III. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to be talking about Israel. And we're going to meet the producer of a documentary film on why stand with Israel. And there's just a lot of accolades and things we could say about that film. So you'll meet Brian Sanders in just a moment. But I want to welcome you. I've got the great privilege of being on the Hamilton Corner kind of frequently. And by the way, this week, as Abe Hamilton is doing some traveling, later on in the week, we've got an interview with Christian Briggs, who's an economist and is a consultant to the Trump White House about tariffs. What do tariffs mean? What about the state of the economy? A lot of good content this week on the Hamilton Corner, and tonight is no exception. By the way, if you recognize my voice, such as it is, my southern voice, you might have heard me on a show called Exploring the Word that we do live 5 days a week on the American Family Radio Network, 4 to 5 Eastern Time, and in the time zone of your choice. Bert Harper and I on Exploring the Word have been teaching the Bible for a lot of years, and it's a great privilege to sit in on the Hamilton Corner and talk about issues from a biblical perspective. And so I want to cue up the guest that we've got, and I'm going to throw out a number, and the number is 16. And you say, well, what is that about? 16 awards. I'm on the page whystandwithisrael.com. And I will tell you, I've interviewed people that have done a lot of projects, been a part of a lot of video and audio and publishing projects myself. And the documentary film, Inspiring the Global Church to Stand More with the Apple of God's Eye, these awards just on and on, film festival after film festival, after competition, after so many things around the world. This documentary has won, that I can see, 16 major film awards. The accolades are just incredible. So we're going to visit with, we're going to learn about this from the producer, Brian Sanders, and the challenge is to stand with Israel. And so I'm excited to talk with the person behind this documentary. It's endorsed by our longtime friend David Barton of Wall Builders, Michelle Bachman, so many others, but the director is Brian Sanders. And so, Brian, I welcome you to the American Family Radio Network, and I thank you for what you're doing to encourage and inform people that they might stand with Israel. Hey, Brian, are you there? Brian? Okay, we're trying to get Brian Sanders on. Brian, are you with us? Hey, crew, do we have Brian? Do we have Brian Sanders? I don't know. Hey, let me know when we get Brian Sanders. One of the people that endorses this documentary is a friend of mine for many, many years, 2 decades plus, Dr. Michael Brown. And Dr. Brown says of the film, Why Stand with Israel? He says, this is why you need to see the film. It will open your eyes to God's heart in a refreshing new way. Somebody else that endorses it is a person I've had the privilege of being interviewed by many, many times, which is Sid Roth of the TV show. I'm sure you've seen Sid Roth. He's a born-again Jewish man himself. He said, the reason I participated in this film, the reason I'm endorsing this film, is when you invest in the Jewish harvest, I believe many are going to come to the Lord. Well, you know, what the Bible says in Genesis 12, God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse those who curse you. And I've often said this, that the greatest favor any president could do the American people is to stand with the nation of Israel. And, you know, even right now, Israel is in the news. You know, it's amazing how whenever Israel engages in self-defense, the secular world will accuse Israel of genocide or things like that. Even right now, Israel is being accused of having broken this ceasefire. Because here's the thing. The strikes in Gaza are because Hamas did not keep their word. But, you know, I'm old enough. I don't know if you remember. Let's go back and lay down a little bit of history. Do you remember in 1978, the Ayatollah Khomeini deposed the Shah of Iran? Now, many of you will know this, but just for those that don't, and, you know, it seems like Islam and violence in the Middle East has been in the news like every day of my life for years. Well, in 1978, the Shah of Iran sought sanctuary here in America. And at that time, I mean, you should Google the pictures. Iran in the 70s, there are pictures of college girls walking around with an armload of books being educated. But what happened, the Ayatollah Khomeini, there was a revolution and the imposition of Sharia law. And Iran, which had been fairly westernized to be a Middle Eastern country, a predominantly Islamic Middle Eastern country, the Shah, the leader, was thrown out for his life, ran to America, and then Sharia law had been imposed ever since. And of course, during the Carter years, you know, humor me as I lay a little bit of groundwork. I don't know if you remember the last year or so of Jimmy Carter's administration. Instead of statesmanship, they called it blinkmanship. And I will never forget the debate in 1980. It was Reagan versus Carter. And, you know, Reagan said, look, we've got to end this thing. And they asked Jimmy Carter in the debates, they said, President Carter, if you get reelected, what are you going to do to end the hostage situation in Iran, the violence? And not only were the Muslim jihadists then, they were death to America, death to Israel, you know, death to any infidel that opposes Sharia. And I will never forget, and I was just like 14. I didn't know much about anything. But I remember Carter said in the debate, well, if we could just sit down and talk to this Ayatollah, I'm sure we could figure something out. We just need to sit at the table and talk. And it reminded me of what I had heard of Neville Chamberlain. Do you remember Neville Chamberlain? He went and brokered a peace deal with Adolf Hitler. And Churchill, they said, Churchill, you're a warmonger. Neville Chamberlain comes back to England after having met with the Third Reich, and he says, as he's getting off the plane, he said, all in London may sleep peaceably tonight. This Hitler, I find him to be a likable chap, and we can trust him. Now, meanwhile, back in Berlin, Adolf Hitler told the press about Neville Chamberlain. He said, tell that old man, if he ever comes back here again, I'll jump up and down on his stomach for the photographers. And of course, the ink wasn't dry on a treaty between Germany and England, and Hitler began continued his role across Europe. So in the debate in 1980 between Carter and Reagan, and I was just a kid, but I just remember things. And they said, well, candidate Reagan, Governor Reagan of California, if you become the president, how are you going to address the hostage situation? And Reagan, they called him the great communicator. He looked into the camera. I'll never forget. And of course, the snowflakes nearly, you know, had a brain aneurysm. Reagan said, you listen to me, Mr. Ayatollah. If I'm elected president, I will mop the floor with you. Everybody is, oh my us. It's World War III. I remember I had an English teacher. I was in ninth grade, and she called him Ronald Reagan. Not Ronald Reagan, but Reagan. Oh, you know, Reagan will get us all killed. Well, if you remember, January of 81, the inauguration day, Reagan had barely said the oath of office, and all the hostages in Iran were on an airplane ride home because they knew there was an adult in the room who meant business. And in a way, when I think about Churchill, when I think about Reagan, in the very same vernacular, you may disagree with me, but it reminds me of Donald Trump. But we're talking about Israel, and Hamas has broken the ceasefire countless, endless times over the last 47 years, whether it be, you know, Anwar Sadat getting assassinated for trying to negotiate peace with Israel and working with America, the Islamic fundamentalist assassinated Sadat. You know, he was sitting right there at a public function next to Lady Di. Go all the way back to Nadir in 1948, when Israel became a nation again, and that's thanks to Balfour, who was a Christian, Eisenhower, who was a Christian, Churchill, who I believe was a Christian from everything I study, and Chaim Weizmann and David Ben-Gurion, who was the first prime minister. Well, there were the one of the leaders of Syria was a Muslim. His name was Nadir. Well, listen to this, folks, and you tell me if you believe that terrorists can be trusted. When Israel was going to be reconstituted as a nation in May of 1948, there's a letter, there's a documentary that CBN produced. Nadir of Syria wrote a letter to Ben-Gurion and Weizmann and said, once again, he said, we welcome the Jews back to their ancestral homeland. And how good it will be, once again, when the children of Ishmael sit down and break bread in fellowship with the children of Isaac. And about 6 weeks later, Nadir was dead. He was poisoned. They said his stomach and intestines turned to concrete, and he was killed. And there was, of course, the Six-Day War in 67. There was the Yom Kippur War in 73. There have been endless conflicts and conflagrations. And that's why, you know, Bryan Sanders and the film, the award-winning film, and I'm looking at the endorsers of I Stand, or Why Stand with Israel, Dr. Michael Brown, Michelle Bachman, who I've interviewed on this network, Sid Roth, who we love, David Barton, who I've known since the late 90s. Folks, you need to know this incredible film. When we come back, we're going to meet with Bryan Sanders. Mr. Sanders, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you. I've been laying a little bit of groundwork, and you know, even as we speak, Hamas is being fired upon because they broke the terms of the ceasefire agreement. I look forward to really picking your brain. Before we take a quick break into first segment, give us the website. How can people be involved? Why should America invest their attention in this film, Why Stand With Israel?
Yes, thank you, Alex. And first of all, thank you so much for having me on the program. They can find out more about our film at on our website at whystandwithisrael.com. We also have, I would love for you to check out our Why Stand With Israel Facebook page, our Instagram, our Twitter, our X page, and also our LinkedIn page. And, you know, the intent of our film was simply to educate and inspire the global church to live out its biblical responsibility to stand with Israel. And
sure. Hold that thought. Yeah. We got to take a brief break. We're going to come back with Bryan Sanders, executive producer, director, Why Stand With Israel, a film with incredible accolades and awards and endorsements. You want to learn about this film, and we'll stand with Israel. Stay tuned. More after this, plus your calls. Don't go away.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
You know, often schools have mascots of animals that reflect a certain air of strength or boldness or something to be admired. You know, you think of schools with a mascot of the lions, the tigers, the bears, the bulldogs, the wildcats, all kinds of mascots. As I think about it, I've never heard of a school with a mascot that's a sheep, because sheep don't strike fear or terror or great admiration in their ability to lead, to conquer, to overcome. Sheep are very, very helpless animals. So many places in Scripture, God alludes to people as being like sheep. Obviously, that's never an insult on God's part. It's a statement of reality. And the fact is, sheep desperately need a shepherd. And we are like sheep. We desperately need our shepherd, our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Alex McFarland here, always honored to sit in for Abe Hamilton. And hey, before we resume our conversation with the film producer and director, Brian Sanders, hey, I've got a little bit of a commercial that I think you're going to be interested. We are doing a speaker series over the summer, and we've got Charlie Kirk, and we've got Lauren Green from Fox News. But listen to this, folks. Coming up May 4th, so that's only 5 or 6 weeks away, just one of the best voices in the world. He's been a personal friend for 18 years, Dinesh D'Souza. Now, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now, listen in, folks. Myrtle Beach, they call it America's Beach, the number one resort town in America. There's a theater industry there, kind of like Branson, Missouri. I have rented two theaters. I've rented the Greg Rolls Theater. I've rented the Alabama Theater. Now, what I'm doing, I call this Conversations That Matter. And this speaker series, and number one, I ask for your prayers. But I'm going to tell you about next week, a lunch that I want you to come to. If you live, if you're in Charleston, Florence, Dillon, Wilmington, Myrtle Beach, Conway, Charlotte, if you're in this region next week, I want you to come to have lunch with me, and I'll explain. But on May 4th, it's the kickoff. Dinesh D'Souza, he was a policy analyst in the Reagan White House. Listen, I've shared the stage with Dinesh. This guy is brilliant, brilliant, and you can hear him in person. May 4th, we've got Dinesh D'Souza, and he's going to be giving commentary on Trump's 100 first days in office, American politics, and the role of the church in the public square. So go to my website, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. Now, next week, Wednesday, March 26th, Thursday, March 27. What are we doing? I'm having lunch for 2 days. And listen, folks, lunch is on me. If you come, if you're in the Myrtle Beach region, and look, Wilmington is just an hour away. So come to lunch. For one thing, I'm going to give you a free book. You'll get one of my books, 100 Bible Questions and Answers. And then I'm going to give a message about worldview. And a part of the worldview is Israel and just what as citizens and Christians we should do. But then I'm going to tell you about hearing Dinesh, and we need your help. We really do, because, folks, we're in a battle, not only for, of course, the soul of people, our families, our churches. We're in a battle for America, and Israel is a part of that. So here's the email. If you want to come to lunch, and lunch is on me, and we've got two really great restaurants reserved, just email me, contact@alexmcfarland.com. C-O-N-T-A-C-T. contact@alexmcfarland.com. If you want to come either Wednesday, March 26th, Thursday, March 27th, and we'll have lunch, you'll get a book, we'll visit, and we'll talk about God and country. Hey, what's not to like? Well, right now, I want to bring on a colleague and friend, Brian Sanders. And Brian, I want to thank you for being on with us. Brian is the producer of a film. It's got the endorsement of some of our most respected leaders. 16 awards, I counted, on the page here. and or no, 20, I guess it is. But whystandwithisrael.com. The one who brings this film to the world, Brian Sanders, is our guest now. Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's an honor, Alex, to be on your program. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, how did you become interested in Israel and U.S.-Israel relations? And give us your journey and how you came to create this resource.
Well, in 2013, I was working full-time with the Christian Broadcasting Network, and I was asked to cover President Obama's only visit to Israel. And after President Obama left, I always wanted to go to Israel. But when my name was called to film this once in a lifetime event, it was a great honor for me. So after President Obama left, I had a great theological conversation with a good friend of mine, and after we were talking, he just said to me, "I think you have some replacement theology in you." And at the time, Alex, I had no idea what that was. And I loved Israel, but I wasn't a strong supporter. I knew the Jewish people were the chosen people at the time. And I knew God had made all these promises and covenants with Israel. But when he said to me, "I think you may have some replacement theology in you," I wondered, did I add or subtract from God's word that scripture tells us not to? Did I take God's word out of context? Or perhaps maybe I somehow blatantly just spoke in error of God's word. And then when he shared with me what replacement theology was, I knew I was in error. I completely and automatically, instantly just repented. And so for your audience that may not know what replacement theology is, I know you do, exactly. You're a pastor. It's this notion that the church believes that God replaced his covenantal people and land with us, the church. And that is completely in error. Now, when God makes a covenant with somebody or a nation, it's just not for a season. It's eternal. It's everlasting. And so, you know, I think of Numbers 23:19, and it says that God is not a man that should lie or change his mind. And unfortunately, I twisted scripture because the church I was going to at the time, I won't mention the name of the church, we did say that. We said, "We're the new Israel." You know, mm-hmm. We took the scripture out of context when God said that they were stiff-necked. We took that God moved from them and replaced them with this new people group known as the Gentile Christians because they accepted his son. And so I was in error. I immediately repented. And at that time, Alex, I asked the Lord to give me a burden for his covenantal people, the Jewish people, and the nation of Israel. And since then, I guess the rest is the rest of the story, you know, what happened. Mm. And so this journey led not only to this film, but now it's a film series. And so it took us about 8.5 years to make this film. And on God's perfect timing, we were able to internationally release it on Israel's birthday last year on May 14th. And since then, we've earned 19 awards. We're up for a couple more. But, you know, the bigger thing that gets me excited and is that the church is waking up. They're standing up more for the people and nation that God sent his only son to. You know, God talks about no other nation more in his word than the nation of Israel, approximately 2,400 times from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, it shows how much God loves the Jewish people in the nation of Israel. And there's no other nation or people that he has these loving endearment nicknames like the apple of my eye, my treasured possession. I mean, even Jesus, we know, said that I come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It wasn't America. It wasn't Palestine. It wasn't Rome or the Vatican. He said, "I come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And he even said that salvation comes from the Jews. He was talking about himself because he was fully Jewish. I think sometimes in the church, we kind of want to paint this narrative. And I know Hollywood kind of depicts him as this blonde hair, blue eyed surfer you see sometimes in films, but he was fully Jewish. And, you know, his last name wasn't Christ. It's just the title. Mm-hmm. And his Hebraic equivalent, we all know, is the Messiah, which means the anointed one, the Holy One of Israel. And so
hey, Brian,
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta ask you a question, because your film, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here, we're talking with Brian Sanders about the wonderful film, Why Stand With Israel. About 5 years ago, we had an award-winning video producer working with us. This individual is a Jewish lady, and she's won awards doing cinematography for Fox, for NPR, decorated filmmaker. And we had hired her to help us edit some video. She was great. And, you know, inevitably we came around to the subject of Christianity and Jesus. She's Jewish. She may be listening right now. And I asked her, I said, what do you know about Christianity? And, you know, it was, you know, kind of piecemeal. And she looked at me, because we had been working on some, you know, Christian apologetics videos. And we hired her because she was incredibly talented. She said, may I ask you a question? And I said, yeah. She said, do Christians hate Jews? And I said, oh my goodness, no. I said, true Christians love Jewish people. Now, I said, you know, we believe Jesus is the Messiah. But I got to tell you, Brian, it almost made me cry, because there was just this look on her face of, like, help me understand, do Christians hate the Jewish people? Very highly educated lady. And so all of that to throw it to you, why would Christians hate Jews, which true Christians don't? And isn't it tragic? Doesn't it just pierce your heart that the precious apple of God's eye, the Jewish people, would think that followers of Jesus hate them? Speak to that sentiment and what we as Christians might do to address it and eliminate that sentiment.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. First of all, that is, I'm really sad to hear that. When you shared that, it was almost gut-wrenching to hear that Jewish people still believe that today. But honestly, can we blame them for the history of the church and how we persecuted them? How we have are still, unfortunately, still anti-Semitic. We've accepted this replacement theology teaching that has been rampant for centuries. We have a survey in our film, Alex, that Lifeway Christian Research gave us. And the numbers are staggering of why the church is still riding the fence on where they stand with Israel. And so, to her point, you know, I can understand why she might be a little defensive, but I would think after the last maybe 10 years or so, with all the Christian evangelical support coming to Israel, I would think that narrative maybe has changed a little bit. But, you know, we didn't really do a good service as Christians to the Jewish people in our history. You know, we've labeled them as Christ killers. I mean, just hearing that title alone, who wants to be called that? But here's the truth of that. As you know, Yeshua, Jesus, said, I lay my life down for no man. But he said, I do only what I see the Father doing. It was his Father's will that he would lay his life down for us. So that narrative or that label, for us to call them Christ killers, doesn't even line up with Scripture. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, exactly. And let me say this. Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross. It was our sins, my sins, put him on that cross. You know, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But it wasn't complete. I mean, there were many Jewish believers. In fact, my friend Dr. Michael Brown, I'm so glad you've got Dr. Brown endorsing.
He's phenomenal.
Brilliant guy. Jewish believer. But for the first two centuries, you know, the vast, vast majority of Christians were Jewish. And listen, it was Gentile and Jew that were complicit with the Lord's crucifixion, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that goes to Ephesians 2 that I know Dr. Brown teaches very well, called the one new man. That wall of separation was broken. So Jew and Gentile in Messiah can have a relationship with the Father. And that veil was torn when Yeshua, Jesus, was crucified on the cross. So there is no veil of separation anymore. So Jew and Gentile can now come together in Messiah, known as the one new man in Ephesians 2. So I totally agree with that 100%. And to your point, what we were talking about before, you know, just the labels that we have given them and the things we have done as a church, we as believers, as evangelicals that love God, we love his word, we know the covenants that God made with Israel and the Jewish people. Matter of fact, we owe them a great honor. They're the ones that wrote the Bible. You know, how would we know God? You know, how would we know the scriptures or know God personally and Yeshua, Jesus, if we didn't have the Bible that they wrote? They were written by Jews and even Jewish believers that were called the Way back then, the disciples and the apostles. And so we owe them a great deal of gratitude. And I would hope that would be the first thing Christians would do when they see the Jewish people, or at least even meet Jewish people. First of all, apologize for how we've been in the history of the church, but also to thank them for giving us the Word of God, the scriptures that they wrote.
And you know what's fascinating, and some of you will know what I'm talking about. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Brian Sanders of Why Stand With Israel. You know, just the accomplishments of the Jewish people throughout history, the accomplishment of the nation of Israel in the, you know, since 1948, just the 76, 77 years Israel has existed, it is just miraculous. The only word is miraculous. All of the inventions, the accomplishments, contributions to medicine, contributions to technology, contributions to intelligence, making the world a safer place. Brian, as I do this program with you, I'm just a few miles from NORAD, and I've got a lot of friends in the military, and many men that are, you know, colonels and high intel, they talk about how it is Jewish intelligence, the best in the world, that helps make the world and the USA a safer place.
Amen.
The blessing of God on the Jewish people. Hey, we got to take a break. We're going to take calls. If you want to ask a question of myself or Brian Sanders, the number 888-589-8840. Hey, that's 888-589-8840. This is Alex McFarland, Brian Sanders, Why Stand With Israel. If you want to ask a question, we'll do our best to give you an answer. The movie, whystandwithisrael.com. Please familiarize yourself with this film and see what you can do to show it in your city. We're back after this with your calls and questions on the American Family Radio Network.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. So honored to be with you this evening, talking about a very important subject, the Nation of Israel, American-Israeli relations, and how I believe the church needs to stand with Israel. We're going to take your calls. And again, the number, we'll get right to it in just a moment. But the number, if you have a question for myself or film producer Brian Sanders, the number is 888-589-8840. And again, if you want to join me for lunch next week in Myrtle Beach, just email me Wednesday and Thursday, 26-27. Email me contact@alexmcfarland.com. Before we pick up the phones, Brian, websites, social media platforms, how can people follow you, the vital work you're doing, and the Why Stand With Israel film?
Well, thank you, Alex. Well, they can simply just go to our website, whystandwithisrael.com, or they can go to our Why Stand With Israel Facebook page, our Twitter page, our X page, our Instagram page, and LinkedIn. Our film is available on DVD in North America and some parts of, in South America, like Colombia. And it's also, we have it on a digital download. We have it translated in 6 languages. We have it translated in Indonesian, Romanian, Farsi, Portuguese, Spanish, and Chinese Mandarin. And so we just finished our Chinese Mandarin translation. So I'm not sure if it's even up on the website, but give it a few days or so. But we're hoping to get this in almost every language, because I believe not only the gospel is for everybody, but I believe the bride of Christ, the global bride of Christ, needs to fully stand with God's first betrothed bride. And that's the Jewish people in the nation of Israel. And we need to, we just need to do something about these numbers that are so staggering in this survey that the Lifeway Christian Research gave us of how much the majority of the church is riding the fence on where they stand with Israel. And really, the numbers are truly staggering. And if you can, if it's okay, can I share some of these numbers with you, Alex?
Yeah, please. I read them myself, Brian. They are pretty eye-opening, but please elaborate.
Yeah, so 32% say they have no strong views about the state of Israel. 63% don't believe the promised land belongs to the Jewish people.
And now, these are Christians, right?
This is Christians. This is a survey with Christians, for Christians. And this one is the big one. This one was mind-boggling. It was hard to wrap around this number when we received it. 96% have not been influenced by their church about Israel. So what does that tell you? To me, it tells me that there's no real importance in sharing why God chose the Jewish people in the nation of Israel to be a light unto the nations. That's their prophetic calling, to be a light unto the nations. It's only one people group and nation on planet Earth that God made an everlasting covenant with, and that is the Jewish people in the nation of Israel. Us Christians, we weren't the first choice. We were grafted into this olive tree that the Apostle Paul illustrates so beautifully in Romans 11. And this olive tree represents God's family. It represents Israel. And there is this natural olive tree known as where the Jewish people are. They're on this natural olive tree. And we were this wild olive tree that a branch was separated and grafted into this cultivated olive tree with the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, with Yeshua, Jesus, being the roots of this olive tree. So we owe a great gratitude for the Jewish people, not only for giving us the scriptures, but this is where who Yeshua, Jesus was. He was fully Jewish. And so exactly. We have a lot of gratitude we owe them. And, you know, we hear a lot about in the scriptures, like the most popular scripture to bless Israel is Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And through you, all the nations, and in some versions say families on the earth will be blessed. I believe the New Testament, known as the Brit Hadashah in Hebrew, there's a complement scripture known as Romans 15:27, where the Apostle Paul says, you know, we owe it to the Jews. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. I'm sorry, this is Romans 1:16. Forgive me.
Yeah.
I'm getting mixed up. Romans 15:27. I'm still trying to get over my cold. Romans 15:27 says, we owe it to the Jews who blessed us spiritually. Well, how did they bless us spiritually? They gave us the word of God. It says we owe it to them to bless them materially. So hey, as Christians...
Hang tight. Forgive me. I want to get to some calls. We've got some people holding. But I'm with you, man. The Old and New Testaments tells us to stand with Israel, and there is a blessing in that. Let's first of all, we're going to go to Ohio. Tim in Ohio. By the way, if you have a question, folks, the number 888-589-8840. Thank you for holding. Welcome, Tim from Ohio.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. Before I get to my question, Alex, one thing I think you ought to explain to people is when God makes a covenant with the people, what exactly does that mean? I covered that with some of my students a couple weeks ago because I think that's critical in understanding this. But what my original question is, compare this presidential administration's support of Israel versus the previous administration's support of Israel.
Very good. Well, yeah, a covenant, real, the word, fascinating word, folks, it means to make a cut, to cut a cut. And you say, what does that mean? Well, you remember when God made the covenant with Abraham, and Brian, you were mentioning that, you know, I'm going to give you land, I'm going to give you descendants, I'll send the Messiah. So we often talk about soil, seed, and Savior. Well, to ratify the covenant, they cut, they sacrificed some animals, and they passed between the pieces. And essentially, folks, a covenant, it's meaning, may that be what happens to me if I bail out on my side of the contract. And at the wedding altar, every one of us that's ever been married, we say, till death do us part. Marriage is a covenant. So, Brian, to Tim's question, isn't it true that, of course, God is not going to betray his covenant promises? Agreed?
Absolutely. He makes a covenant, a promise. It, like I said earlier, it's not just for a season. It's eternal. It's everlasting. And so there are so many scriptures that even back that up. So yes. And to, I guess to answer that, the other question that Tim had was, you know, to compare President Trump's administration with the Biden administration, it is kind of like night and day. We're already seeing a lot of changes since he took office. And I don't think he's been in office, not even quite 100 days yet. And but anyway, he
57 days,
57. So, you know, we see what he did with the Abraham Accords and see how he is a true friend of Israel. He's standing with Israel. And then you see what happened with the Biden administration. Now, did they help Israel? The Biden administration help Israel during the war? Yes, they did. But they also gave a lot more to Israel's enemies. That's not what a friend does. You know,
exactly. And
that's. Yeah, we forget that, you know. But, you know, the other thing that we saw on February 4th when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu came to the White House, we saw how both of these leaders, you know, they love each other, and President Trump truly stands with Israel. But President Trump did say something that I don't know if it caught your attention, and that is that he said the United States is going to control and own Gaza. Now, that's not our position, and it's not our land to own or take at all. First of all, it's God's land, you know, and he gave it to as a deed, as Michelle Bachman says in our film, and he gave it to the Jewish people. Joel 3:2 is abundantly clear about not dividing his land. And so I love that we support and defend Israel, but we have no right to be taking over or controlling. We're saying that we're going to own it. You know, a lot of people say that President Trump just throws these things out there to get you to come to the table. And that's probably true. I mean, we've kind of seen his tactics, but I mean, he does love Israel. But my caution and concern is I pray that we don't follow through on that we're going to own the land, because this is God's land. He says it many times in Scripture. And there's blessing and there's curses with that.
Forgive me. I wish we had so much time, but I want to get to Linda in Georgia. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, thank you for holding. Welcome.
Yes, I love your show. I listen to you every day on wherever you pop up at. And hi, Brian. I love listening to you, too. You have so much information. I was always
thank you, Linda. Nice to meet you.
Yes, I was always taught in high school. And I'm trying to witness to my son and my husband also. And it always comes up about the Jewish people were murdered by Hitler because they stole all the money and kept all the, drained the economy of Germany because they would just buy and buy and sell in there for kosher and for their own economy. And that was one of the reasons why Hitler wanted to get rid of them. And I just think that's false. What do you say?
Do you want to answer that, Alex, or is that question to me?
It's to you. I've got some thoughts on that, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I agree that it's totally false. I wouldn't say I'm a subject matter expert in that area, but I would say that was I just think Hitler had this diabolical hatred toward the Jewish people, that he was rooted in anti-Semitism. And we share a little part in our film of how he was influenced. Do you know the reason, or maybe one of the people that was very influential in Hitler's life, of why he wrote Mein Kampf and why he carried out the Final Solution?
Well, you know, part of it was, and psychologists have written a lot about Hitler, that he had, you know, he was part Jewish. And, you know, there was kind of almost this self-loathing. I will say this, two things that hugely influenced Adolf Hitler. One was Charles Darwin. And Charles Darwin's belief that we evolved and some people were less evolved. And, you know, with Goebbels and the Ministry of Propaganda, some of the othering, in other words, to ostracize and marginalize the Jews in Germany, that made these horrible cartoons, and there was just this rising, for one thing, the demonizing of Jews, but then the rise of this belief that we're the master race, and so it kind of was a perfect storm. I do not believe that the Jews wrecked the German economy. I don't think it was that at all. I think it was ideological and philosophical, and frankly, I think it was spiritual. Let me say this, I'm going to throw it back to you, Brian, but in Revelation 12, it says that Satan hates Israel. The dragon made war on the woman, that's Israel, that delivered the man-child, Jesus. I truly think anti-Semitism is a spiritual slash demonic issue. But Brian Sanders, take it away.
Well, I 100% agree with that. It is very demonic, very diabolical. But to answer her question also, I would say that one of the reasons, beside what you said, Pastor Alex, I totally agree with that, is that Martin Luther, you know, the great reformer, he was very influential in Hitler's reasonings and why he wrote Mein Kampf. You know, some of the things that Martin Luther said in his latter years and his ideology, he was very anti-Semitic, and through that truly influenced Hitler to write Mein Kampf. And we kind of know the rest of the story after that. And so that's something we have to bring into play also.
Yeah.
And we actually share that in our film too.
That's good. That, folks, this is why you need to see the film, Why Stand With Israel. I want to try to squeeze in one more question. Deb from Mississippi. Deb, quickly, if you could, please.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. Could you explain Ashkenazi Jewish descent?
Ashkenazi, yes.
Ashkenazi
Brian,
Jews?
Can you explain
that? You're probably a little bit more in depth of that than I am. I might be getting this wrong. The Sephardic Jews, I believe, came from Spain, and the Ashkenazis, mm-hmm. I believe, came from Europe. Am I right? I could be wrong. You probably know a little bit more than I do.
Yeah. They call it the diaspora, the dispersion of the Jews. This was
diaspora, yep.
In May, March of AD 70. And in the Middle Ages, Jews went to Western Germany and then, of course, Central and Eastern Europe. So the Ashkenazi Jews are the Jews that trace their ancestry to that. And really, they're descendants of Noah. Isn't that amazing? From Shem. But hey, Brian Sanders, we got to get you back. Man, I hope you feel better. I hope you're. Thank you for being with us. One more time, your website.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks so much for having me on. Our website is whystandwithisrael.com. We have our film on DVD and on the digital download. We'd love for you to pay it forward to your church, your friends, your family members. I really hope you see God's heart on display for his beloved people and land he made an everlasting covenant with. You're going to see the promise of God. You're going to hear the scriptures. You're going to see scriptures on the screen. And I pray that it inspires
God bless
the church
you. To stand more. Thanks for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.